Eldest Gruff's golden eyes glittered. Then he lifted the staff and thumped it quietly onto the floorboards. Once again, there was a pulse of green light and a surge of gentle thunder, and he was simply gone. So was the silver oak leaf pin. Just gone from my fingers, and I hadn't felt a thing. Give it up for the Fae. They can do disappearing like nobody's business. Maybe I should have taken some lessons. It might have helped me get out of this mess alive. I made my way carefully back across the creaking floor to the body of the young man. He looked relaxed in death, peaceful. I had the impression that whatever Eldest Gruff had done to him, it had been painless. It seemed like the sort of thing the old fairy would do. I reached down with my gloved left hand and grasped the tag containing the blackened denarius of Magog. I jerked it sharply, pulling it off the collar, and pocketed it, careful not to let it touch skin. I was getting to be kind of blasé about handling these coins, but it was difficult to keep getting terrified over and over again, especially given the circumstances. The risk of once more exposing my immortal soul to a fiendish presence seemed only a moderate danger compared to what still stalked the night outside the old building. Speaking of which, I took a deep breath and made my way quietly back out to the street. I could still hear shouting from farther up the hillside. I heard the sound of a boat's engine on the far side of the island. There must have been other vessels docked elsewhere along the shore. Well, I'd known about only the one, and it was close. I slipped back out of the cannery and hurried down the street as quickly and quietly as I could. Down past the bottom of the rough stone staircase, the boat still floated, tied beside the broken stump of an old wooden column. I restrained the urge to let out a whoop and settled for hustling down the frozen stones as fast as I could without breaking my neck. The water was viciously cold, but I still wasn't feeling it, which probably wasn't a good thing. There was going to be hell to pay in afterthought pain when this was over. But compared to the other problems I'd had recently, that one was a joy to think about. I got to the boat, tossed my staff in, and clambered aboard. I heard a shout up the hillside and froze. A flashlight swept back and forth up in the trees, but then moved off in another direction. I hadn't been seen. I grinned like a fool and crept up to the driver's seat. Once I got the engine started, it would attract attention, but all I had to do was drive west as fast as I could until I hit ground. The whole western shoreline hereabouts was heavily occupied, and it should be no problem to get to a spot public enough to avoid any further molestation. I eased into the driver's seat and reached for the ignition key, but it was gone. I felt around for it. Rosanna had left it in the ignition. I specifically remembered that she had done so. The shadows rippled away from the passenger seat opposite the driver's seat, revealing Nicodemus. He sat calmly in his black silk shirt and dark trousers, the gray noose worn like a tie around his throat, a naked sword across his lap, his left elbow resting on his left knee. In the fingertips of his left hand, he held a key ring, dangling the grease-smeared ignition key of the boat. "Good evening, Dresden," he said. "Looking for this?"